flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brad Holmes at the podium yesterday said they will stay the course. Doesn't believe in windows, doesn't feel like the walls are closing in, despite, in his words, falling short this year. Doesn't sound like F them picks is in the cards. They'll trade picks, but they aren't in F them picks mode just yet and may never be based on the way they want to do this. Where are you at? Do you want to see them be a little more aggressive and take a few more chances, and or is it stay the course? He's the two-time executive of the year. No reason to go crazy this offseason trying to fix it. 248-539-9797. Coming up at 7:18, we are going to have rapid-fire receipts. Before the season, we did fact or fiction with the Lions.
Uh-oh.
We'll get to it shortly here. John, you said the Crosby thing I brought up isn't too crazy?
No, well, there's a sliver of a possibility.
Okay.
And I'm looking at this from, first of all, the Lions' perspective. Do we believe that the offense, like Ben Johnson has said since leaving, is on cruise control, basically? That they are, no matter who's calling the plays, it's still going to be a top five offense. I do believe that because Dan Campbell's here. Whoever they bring in, offensive coordinator or whoever they promote, I think that the train stays on the track. They're still going to be an explosive offense. Defensively, what did we say even before Aiden Hutchinson was hurt? He was on a terror. It's who is rushing opposite him. They need more pass rush help. What better than one of the other best pass rushers in the NFL than Max Crosby, who you would have, as you pointed out, locked up for 2 years with the opportunity to extend and work some salary cap manipulation. So it obviously would that be the piece of the puzzle that would put this team over the top in a, pursuit of a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Because you don't have to go out and trade for your quarterback. You don't have to trade for anything else other than you need more pass rush help. And I can only imagine, as a former offensive lineman, when you start building pass protections for a team, you find out, okay, who's your best pass rusher? We're going to account for them on every single down. We're going to turn protections. We're going to bring a running back, tight end, wide receiver. It's going to be motions, all of these different things. If you have to account for Max Crosby and Aiden Hutchinson, along with Aleem McNeil in the middle, that's an absolute nightmare. That would be a nightmare of trying to figure out, because if you then account for a running back on either side or a running back on one side, tight end, and it's motion, now all of a sudden, instead of sending four guys down on in routes, maybe you only got three, maybe you only got two.
And in terms of the cap can always be massaged. It's going to get harder and harder the longer they continue to draft as well as they are. Aiden's extension wouldn't kick in this next season.
Or the season after.
Or the season after, which is when Crosby's deal would be up. Now, that's why I think this makes a lot of sense.
So that's where, from the Lions' perspective, you start seeing a sliver of hope. From the Raiders' perspective, now, stick with me on this one, because trading the 28th pick and what we would believe would be the 32 pick next year, it's not really enticing to a team that is looking for a franchise quarterback. They're picking 6th. They're not going to get their franchise quarterback may not even be available in this year's draft.
Or they might want to move up from 6, and wouldn't it be nice to have a couple extra firsts in the war chest? I just think if you're a first-year GM in Vegas, which is what they have, as well as a first-year coach, you are kind of starting over.
You are starting over. And they, but my point is, even if they were to say, hey, we had 28 this year and we've got whatever the Lions pick is next year, pair that with our six, can we move up to one or two? Who are you moving up for?
Yeah.
Cam Ward?
Right.
Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily see any of those guys as being franchise quarterbacks. So if your path to a quarterback, if you're simply looking at a placeholder, they could find, I mean, do we believe that Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, maybe Sam Darnold are all going to be free agents? Like, I mean, there would be a path for them to get a placeholder in place for a year or two and then look towards next year's draft. And so if you have six and you get 28 this year from the Lions and you get whatever next year for the Lions, they're two first-round picks. Now, all of a sudden, you may look and say, okay, well, who's going to be really bad next year other than us? And trade with them so that maybe they want the number six overall pick this year. Maybe they're in a better position to make a move on a receiver or a defensive tackle or somebody that could help them get out of the doldrums this year. And now all of a sudden, you're already going to be bad next year.
Correct.
You don't have a quarterback. So you may earn the number one overall pick, and then you get another pick from somebody who's going to be probably not good. Now you get two top 10 picks next year where you could get your starting quarterback. That's where I think that, you know, and again, you got to get creative here. And if it's the Raiders that you're looking at, which obviously they've got Max Crosby, how can you find a way to pry Max Crosby away and create it so that they get something out of it? Because they're not going to do it just because.
Both sides got to win, right?
Yeah.
At least feel like they're going to win. With the Raiders, the case would be this. One, you love a quarterback in this year's draft, and you get an extra first for the capital to do something. You don't love a quarterback in this year's draft, you build the foundation of your football team. So when you do get your quarterback, they're better set up for success. I'm not telling you they want to trade Max Crosby. I think every report has said the opposite. They don't. But if he's publicly complimenting the Lions, only has 2 years left on his deal, doesn't like the direction, the new GM wants a chance to start over with extra resources. I think from a Lions standpoint, we know they've already made phone calls. Dave Perkett had the report last November. They had called on Max Crosby. So we ask you guys the question, is it stay the course or is it F them picks? Let's get to Jeff in Canton. Jeff, you're on 97.1.
Well, thanks for putting that on a silver platter for me. So I'm thinking the Raiders can send us Max Crosby and some money, and then we give them possibly a second or third round pick and get rid of that shiny Ferrari and Jameson Williams that we have that keeps causing us so many issues.
I don't
think that he's someone that can stay on the team with what he's doing if you saw what he did with St. Brown on the bench in that game.
Did I miss something?
Did I miss something?
After he humped the ground, he was sitting on the bench and St. Brown came down to sit next to him. He immediately got up and walked away. The cameras followed him. And it's something he did earlier in the season too.
Is that maybe reading too much into something?
I'm not going to go full drama on that one. I think it just been a bit bad timing.
Trouble in paradise. They're not friends.
I don't see anything in that. I mean, if you listen to the Amon-Ra St. Brown podcast that had J-Mo on it, it sounds like they're pretty tight.
Oh, he's begging to get him on, and he's I think they're two different personalities. I don't think that means they're not close.
But Jeff, to your point, I wouldn't hate the idea, and I would entertain it, of sending J-Mo, because what else do we know that the Raiders need? They need a quarterback, but they need wide receiver help. They need skill on offense. They don't have it. They sent Davante Adams off to the Jets. They don't have a stud receiver, and they're looking for somebody to fill a role there.
Exactly. And that's what I was thinking, why it might work. I just don't know what kind of draft picks we could send them to entice them to do that.
Well, it's going to have to start with firsts.
Plural, you would think. I mean, they're not going to want to do this. But I think if you're Detroit, and again, everybody gets caught up in this because the ticket texter says, didn't you just play the clip? Brad Holmes said they want to build through the draft. If you trade a couple first, they replenished a couple thirds. Like, I would still envision Brad hitting some home runs later in the draft. I mean,
right. And he also said if it's the right player and it's the right fit and makes our team better, that they would be open to that.
I think the Raiders need to realize that this is what triggers a quicker rebuild.
Yep.
I think in some ways it's very much like Stafford was here. This is how you get capital. And, you don't want to part with one of the best defensive end pass rushers in the game, but the bottom line is it triggers. It's going to accelerate your rebuild as long as you draft properly. The one looming thing, I'm not against this. I'm kind of lukewarm on this. Look, and it's not Crosby the player more than the philosophy.
Yeah.
Not only do you have Hutch, you know, coming due. You're making a decision on the mentioned JMO in terms of, and who knows about
fifth-year option.
The fifth-year option, but definitely an extension. That's way, we got to see, I think, a more prove it, right?
Yeah.
But next year, Gibbs is in the same boat as JMO. You got to pick up Gibbs's fifth-year option. And
that's a much lower number.
Right, but Jahmyr Gibbs is going to potentially become the best running back in football.
Right.
How do you let him walk? I know we had a conversation last offseason about, well, of the guys at the top four picks last year in the draft, that the Branch, Gibbs draft, LaPorta, and Campbell, that you might have to let one walk.
You know, a great example of this, because I know Lions fans are living in bliss where they'll extend Joseph and Hutch this offseason, and it won't compromise their ability to keep LaPorta or Branch or Gibbs. Or the Chiefs had to move on from Tyreek Hill. You know what I'm saying? Like, inevitably, there's a guy you can't keep along the way. Doesn't mean you have to stop winning, but you can't keep everybody.
And they chose right.
Well, and they did. And my argument would be, while you have everybody, while you have seven Pro Bowlers on offense, and you've got this loaded roster, Crosby for the next 2 years, chase your Super Bowl, deal with the consequences later.
Yeah, because the thing is, right now, look, and it's hard to understand the cap. I know Mike says sometimes the cap's not even real, but you're paying Crosby right away. You don't have to pay Branch and Gibbs and all those other guys until like 2026 and more. So yes, you push it down the road.
Structure it.
Maybe you get Goff to restructure,
they probably will.
And that kind of thing, and find money. I'm just saying that, realize that Crosby's going to probably cost you another player or two here or there somewhere else. And then you got to ask, how much better are you? You know, the thing that Jahmyr Gibbs has put on the table is that I don't know how you can't eventually extend the way he plays his looks right now. They don't have to right now, but I think we all thought you might let him walk initially.
Maybe after the fifth year, just because of the position, but he's looked so good that I think that's changed the conversation even slightly. We're going to get the rapid fire receipts coming up next. We did Fact or Fiction before the Lions season. How'd we do? It's 97.1.
Hey, it's been cold. Don't let the cold creep in your house. If you woke up, maybe it's a little chilly in there, you need your furnace service today, do what I did and call Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment, the best prices, and they offer same-day service. So don't be cold in your home. Plus, they offer a 5-year warranty, so you know you're covered. Save a bundle with their winter bundle, up to $1,500 in savings when you buy a new furnace, AC, and generator. Call for details, or you can visit them online at mastercraftheating.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in August, simpler times, we were filled with excitement for the Lions season, and we played Fact or Fiction. Let's get some rapid receipts.
All right. This was done before the first preseason game, so let's rip through these. Jameson Williams will have 1,000 receiving yards. Jim, you said that was fiction. John, you said that was fiction. It was fact.
Yeah.
Barely fact, but fact nonetheless. He finished with 1,001 receiving yards.
Yeah. You know what? And here's where I was on that one. I thought with the increased usage of Jahmyr Gibbs, I didn't think there was going to be enough to go around. I had no idea this offense was going to be as explosive and as many numbers as possible.
Aiden Hutchinson, 15-plus sacks.
Oh, no.
Jim, you said that was fact. Spiritually correct, but we all know he got hurt early in the season after 7.5. John, you said no. What a hater.
Yeah, well, I was right.
You're right.
Yeah, so.
Jack Campbell will lead the team in tackles. John, you predicted fact. Jim, you predicted fiction. In fact, that it would be Alex Anzalone leading the team with tackles. He got hurt. Similar theme today here.
Yeah, but
Jack Campbell did, in fact, lead the team in tackles with 131.
Yeah, and he may have still led the team in tackles, even without the injury.
Correct. Terrion Arnold will lead all rookie quarterbacks in interceptions. Jim, you said fact.
Oh,
John,
no. Oh, no.
You said fact. In fact, he'll have his first one in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Right, yeah.
Did he mean this season or next season?
Next year. Next
Terrion
year, that's
Arnold
what I meant.
Has a bagel in interceptions, and just for like clarity, like, hey, did he tie with all of the other rookie cornerbacks with interceptions?
No.
With zero and technically lead? And I said, no, Daw Sanders still had some interceptions this year.
Yeah.
Don't know if he led, but he had more than the zero that Darnold had.
Yeah. I thought we were better at this.
Jared Goff will have 10-plus interceptions. Jim, you said fact. John, you said fiction.
Yeah.
It was fact. Jared Goff had 12, right at the number he has been hitting in recent years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It just shows that Cookies is not fully reformed.
Oh, and I thought you were going to say consistency is the truest measure of performance.
It is.
Not reformed, but right. I'll take it.
Yeah. Amon-Ra St. Brown will have 1,500 receiving yards. Jim, you said fact.
Damn it.
John, you said fact. Fiction, another productive year for ARSB, but at 1,263 receiving yards. Yep. Sam LaPorta will have 12-plus touchdowns. Jim, you said fiction. John, you said fiction.
Yeah.
It was fiction. Finished with 7 receiving touchdowns on the season.
Still a pretty good year.
Yep.
This is an interesting one. Jake Bates will hit a 60-yard field goal during the regular season. Jim, you said fact. John, you said fiction.
Yep. He didn't have the chance, did he?
No.
Spiritually, this is fact.
Oh, yeah?
Spiritually, it's fact.
Okay.
John, you were unsure if he was even going to be the kicker, and I believe at this point he was the only kicker on the roster, but John, you weren't convinced that he was going to stay there or even get
the opportunity.
That wasn't the question.
The question was, is he going to hit a 60-yarder?
Jim, no, let him go. I'm spiritually right. I'm taking this. These are wins.
Jim had confidence in Jake Bates.
But I was wrong.
Spiritually correct. But it is, in fact, fiction. Mm. He had a 58-yarder was as high in Houston.
So I'm not sure your soul is that pure.
It was fiction.
Okay.
John wins that one if you're all
keeping
track.
Yes, we're keeping score.
Jahmyr Gibbs, this was lofty.
Painful.
2,000 all-purpose yards.
Mm.
Jim, you said fiction.
Oh,
John,
okay.
You said fiction. Jahmyr Gibbs finished with 1,412 rushing yards.
Oh, that's
517 receiving yards. That is 1,929 all-purpose yards. Just coming under. It was fiction. Okay. Both of you hit that one.
I'm not sure, and maybe this is a topic for next week or down the road. I'm not sure we fully appreciated the season that Jahmyr Gibbs had.
I think you're right.
Those 1,400 rushing yards snuck up on you pretty quickly.
Yes.
And the fact that it was so high in the league rankings.
And he wasn't the lead back a lot of times. That's amazing.
Final one. The Lions will win the Super Bowl. We're doing this topic now so we know it is fiction. John, you said fact.
Yeah.
Jim, you said fiction.
Hate you.
I'm not happy to be right. You still took
the fact that Patrick Mahomes lives in this universe and plays in this league as a reason not to pick the Lions to win the Super Bowl. So you were correct on that one.
Yeah, Mr. Bandwagon.
And those are our Lions receipts.
Let's get to Heather's news.
Well, guys, three people have been busted trying to sell $200,000 worth of fake sports memorabilia.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
This trio is accused of trying to pass off some phony memorabilia to collectors by forging Jason Kelce's signature. So one of these schemers worked at this authentication service. So she verified a ton of jerseys, hats, footballs with all of these fake signatures. And then the other two guys sold them at the companies they owned, right? Well, they tried to pass it off like they got these items from this private signing event, but somebody knew it wasn't true.
Yeah, flagged it.
Yeah, so they were all busted, charged with 60 felony counts. Wow, including forgery and theft by deception.
Mm.
Look out. Yikes. Kendrick Lamar will have at least one guest during his Super Bowl halftime performance. Did you see this? It was announced yesterday that SZA will be joining him, which is kind of exciting. And also, I guess, could be expected because they have performed together. They have songs together. And they're also going to be co-headlining a 19-city North American tour this spring and summer together. So
you'd spell that as it sounds?
S-Z-A.
Oh, I put
it. How did you spell it?
S-I-Z-Z-A.
Well, it sounds just like that, okay. But it's, yes, S-Z-A. So exciting. They kind of released this like teaser on Thursday. Apple Music and Lamar both posted it. He's on this football field chatting on the phone, and then she walks up behind him and like dumps blue Gatorade all over him. And anyway, that was their kind of announcement. So exciting news for sure.
Oh, okay. I see a picture now.
Yeah. A Clinton Township nurse is facing charges after allegedly opening a credit card account using a dead patient's name.
Oh, boy. Oh,
come on. Police say this woman, Linda Polk, opened a Capital One Visa account back in October of 2024 and made several transactions totaling at least $10,700. She was busted, charged with identity theft and a whole lot of other things. Can't get away. You're going to get caught. Get ready to see some higher electric bills very, very soon. DTE customers will have higher electric rates starting next month because they were just approved this rate increase for $217.4 million. So starting on February 6th, the typical residential DTE customer will see a monthly increase of $4.61 in their monthly bill under this rate hike. So here you go. That's your warning. It's coming.
Yeah, I think the frustration is with all the outages last year, people are like, what was I paying for already? They have to use that money to avoid those issues.
Yep. City officials in Dearborn are celebrating a massive drop in crime statistics over the last year. So this is great. There were 30% less burglaries, a 35% drop in home invasions, 22% decrease in vehicle thefts, and a 25% drop in robberies. And the city also saw decreases in larceny and commercial burglaries. Plus, they saw just one homicide, which is a 50% decrease from the two they saw a year before. Don't go to Dearborn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which tough, is great tough news. Place. It's be awesome news.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. The key to help you live a longer, healthier life could be in the time you eat your dinner.
Okay.
Something I think kind of makes sense, but according to an expert, the best time to eat dinner from a health perspective is at least 3 hours before you go to sleep.
Makes sense.
You should consume your last bit of food at least 3 hours before you
time to digest or helps with sleep? Or
all of it. It says, yeah, it could disrupt. If you eat too late, it could disrupt your circadian rhythms, which govern how your body transitions from day to night.
Those darn cicadas.
Yeah, they're so noisy, aren't they? Could also affect your sleep and your efficiency to burn calories. So that is all included. Also, I guess they talk about the fasting time between your last bite of dinner and your first bite of breakfast.
Fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go. So just think about it. I think most people do that.
I was gonna say, I think
unless you go for that big snack right before bed.
Oh, snack is my toughest one. It's if I can eat it, we usually eat around between 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
But then I get hungry before I go to bed. And if I would just go to bed.
I do that too sometimes where it's yes, just go upstairs, just go to sleep. But it's like, well, no, this is calling my name.
Uh-huh. I think people like to think that they do that.
Like think that they stop eating 3 hours before bed, but yeah, we all snack. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Uh-huh. I guess. Probably.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up at 7:50, are we leaving something behind in 2025? And coming up next, the latest on the Lions' defensive coordinator situation. A name that interviewed yesterday. Is he your guy? It's 97.1. Jumped him early. Wire-to-wire win for the Red Wings. Octopus on the ice afterwards. Needed it. Stop a skid. Got a home game this weekend against the Lightning. John, update on this defensive coordinator spot for the Lions.
Mm-hmm. Larry Foote was in town yesterday.
How do you feel?
And not just to visit family. I would be excited about that one. And so we talk a lot about guys, Robert Saleh. He's from here. We talked about it when, you know, the coaching search was going on with Dan. Dan ended up getting the job. Saleh goes to the Jets, and now he's available. And again, it rekindles it. Well, would he want to come here because he'd be coming back home? Would Larry Foote want to come here because he'd be coming back home? Do we want him because he's a local guy? That has nothing to do with this. And it's not going to have anything to do with it for Larry. It may be something that if he's got two like offers, and he's looking at the teams going, well, these teams are exactly the same. The offers are the same. But I get a chance to, you know, go to my hometown. That's when maybe it plays a part. But in having, and I know Larry, he was a teammate of mine at Michigan. I, from the football perspective, he has the same mindset as Dan Campbell in regards to, I want to play an aggressive style of defense. What have we seen in Tampa? Over the last, I mean, he was a part of the coaching staff when they won the Super Bowl. It was about an aggressive play at linebacker. He's their linebackers coach currently. And I've had a chance to talk to him over the last couple of years. He is of the mind, I just like his football philosophy. And that is, you know, we're going to attack the quarterback. The only way to win is to attack the quarterback. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. You can have some man coverage at time. I like his concept of, you know, I talked about the post-snap reads after when we were talking about playing Jaden Daniels. I like what he does pre- and post-snap. The conversation, obviously he hasn't done it because he hasn't been play caller.
Mm-hmm.
But I like when I talk to him about different situations, the way that he responds, it's, you know, here's my philosophy, here's what I believe in, here's what I would do. And I've always liked his answers.
Where does he fall in the pecking order for you in terms of wish list? Like clearly local also have opportunity for him to call a defense. Like, there's a lot that's appealing about him coming to Detroit from his perspective, and clearly Detroit is interested because they brought him out to interview. Where is he in the pecking order?
Would I prefer somebody with experience? Sure. Dennis Allen.
Yeah.
And if it's not Dennis Allen, then I start looking at other guys that maybe don't have experience. Eventually, you know, somebody's going to get their first job, their first time calling defenses. And I would be okay with it. So he would be right under, he would be in that group that's right underneath Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen would be at the top of my list.
Robert Saleh at all in this? Or you just don't think that's realistic at this point?
I don't think it's realistic. I think he's going back to San Francisco. And I know there were some reports yesterday that he was out there. Okay, he lived there for a long time. I don't necessarily read into that as much as some others may, but I think he would be, I think it'd be a great fit for them out there. And for him, the coaching staff, I just think that that could be an easy landing spot for him as he waits for the next head coaching opportunity.
So as you guys listen and you take in all of this stuff and you listen to us, but you listen to other shows on the station and you read different things online, is there a guy that stands out the most for you? I don't know that Foot was on people's radar, but I think people are excited about it. He'd also match up with the D-line coach they just hired yesterday, Casey Rogers.
Are we reading any tea leaves into that one?
Maybe, right?
Because it always seems unique to me that you would hire assistant coaches before you hire a coordinator that is going to implement a defense. And Dan has said, I want a guy that's going to run a similar defense. So it's, you know, is it the chicken or the egg? All of those different things. And if there's a guy out there that's just really good at what he does, developing defensive linemen, then you go get him.
And I think that's how they felt. I mean, this guy had defensive run game coordinator in his title. He had previously worked with Campbell. He had coached in Dallas when Campbell was a player, I believe. Like, Rodgers is regarded as a very good D-line coach. He was interviewing with the Packers, and it looks like the Lions intercepted him. We're able to bring him into the fold and not let him go to a division team. I think you're right. Typically, the DC would come in and have say on the staff, but I think Campbell has set it up in such a way where you're going to run the defense the way
I want it.
And if you aren't going to run it that way, you won't be hired.
Right.
So you will fit us, not the other way around. And that may limit their pool, but I think they believe firmly in the philosophy of the way they want to do this on that side of the ball. And maybe it is Kelvin Shepard gets promoted. Maybe it is Larry Foote comes in and gets the chance to call this defense. Maybe it's Dennis Allen. Like, is there a name? We throw the number out to you guys. Is there a name that you hear and you say, that is my guy? That is the dude I want to come in here and run the Lions defense. Knowing how important that position is going to be. Knowing Campbell can help absorb the loss on offense. They've got better players on offense, more proven players on offense. Who do you want to run this defense? 248-539-9797.
Selfishly, I would like to see Larry Foote for a number of reasons. One, I think it would be really good for the Lions. I like replacing a guy in Aaron Glenn that had a certain mentality, a certain demeanor with the team, with on the sidelines, an aggressive, you know, a no BS style. And Larry Foote is definitely a no BS style. He's not going to beat around the bush. He's going to tell you exactly what he thinks and what he thinks of you. And I love those guys that are straightforward. And he just had, just like when he was a player, he attacks being a coach the same way. He studies and he absolutely has a drive to be the best at what he does. Now, the risk I think you run with Larry Foote, and honestly, the risk you run with any hire at that as a coordinator, you have success. I know he would love to be a head coach someday.
Sure.
You're going to go through the same process in another 2 or 3 years.
I don't run from that.
Oh, no. I think it's great because if you're running, if that's the same process in another 2 or 3 years, what's happened?
You're good.
You've been damn good.
If people are poaching your coaches, your coordinators are being elevated. First of all, in some cases, you're going to be compensated for it. And I mean, Aaron Glenn got them a third-round pick this year and a third-round pick next year. In some cases, you'll be compensated. And regardless, it's only happening if you are the creme de la creme, if you are the best of the best, if you're winning divisions and winning playoff games and chasing Super Bowls and ideally winning Super Bowls. Yeah, you know what? Fine. The coaches are going to leave. And what I think has been emphasized early in this offseason is you still have Dan Campbell, you still have Brad Holmes.
And I think you take what Brad Holmes said yesterday, and we've played some of the clips. We've talked a little bit about it in regards to do you – whoever the defensive coordinator is, will that change who you're going after in free agency? Will that change who you're going after in the draft? And his response was, we're going to scout linebackers. And we is this a good linebacker? Is this the best one available? This one fit our culture, our team? Then we want to go get good players. and then they will be able to fit into our scheme. And so I think you take the same thing with coaches, where all of a sudden you're looking at, okay, well, Casey Rogers, we're going to hire him before we hire the coordinator. Well, we want, just like we want good players, we want good coaches. Yeah. And they're going to fit what we want. And if they aren't able to answer those questions and say, hey, if we bring in a defense that maybe you haven't coached in, how would you handle that situation? And that answer will tell you if you're still in the running for a job or not.
Top guy on my list is Dennis Allen. The familiarity with Dan Campbell, he knows what he'd be getting. Dennis Allen, not a good head coach, a very good defensive coordinator, top 10 units, top 5 units. Yeah, I'd be interested in bringing in a guy like that. And I know that the rumors are Chicago, Ben Johnson. Hey, it's a business. It cuts both ways. Ben's allowed to leave, and if he hasn't signed Dennis Allen on his staff, Campbell absolutely can.
And what is one of the staffs that has been kind of picked apart? And what is one of the staffs that played really good against the Lions? It's Tampa staff. Yeah. They've got a lot of coaches that are being picked off as either coordinators or positions coaches or you know, at other places. Larry Foote's the next involved, and they've always had a high level of play at linebacker. It's an aggressive style of defense. So I think the, you know, you connect the dots, and I think it would be a good opportunity.
Texter says Larry Foote, the Pershing pulverizer.
Yeah.
PSL proud. Go get him.
Doughboy.
That's right. Texter's throwing out some names in there. Rex Ryan has come up a couple times. The belief is Sala will be with the Niners, so that's not going to work. You guys let us know. 248-539-9797. Who do you want to run this defense? Coming up next, are we leaving something behind as we forge forward into 2025? Didn't hear it last night at the Red Wing game. It's 97.1. Larry Foote interviewing for the Lions' DC job. Detroiter. He's been down in Tampa. His contract's up. They want him back, but hey, he's got to hear it out. He might want to take the step to join the ranks here of the Lions. Is he a guy that interests you? Who is your preference, your pick to be the Lions' defensive coordinator replacing Aaron Glenn? And what do you want to see in that next defensive coordinator? We'll take those phone calls, 248-539-9797. John, I went to the Red Wing game last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good time.
You had some a wild night, some experiences. Oh, yeah. You had somebody sitting next to you that was rolling solo.
Rolling solo. I've never done it. Guy was confident. He had a good time. He didn't need other people to validate him.
You were a little jealous.
Just so free. The other thing I noticed.
Wait, you feel so hampered?
No, I don't feel hampered. I just mean like.
As he's sitting next to his wife.
Stop it. You're going to turn this into something it's not.
Yes.
I just mean like people often don't have the confidence to go like eat at a restaurant by themselves or go to a game by themselves and just kind of be not sitting there on the phone, but just taking life in by themselves. We should experience things more that way. We shouldn't need to be around other people. I was looking at him and
I like to do things with my wife. I don't know. I know you like to go to the games with Colin.
I would much rather experience anything with someone else.
Yeah.
I also especially like going to games with my wife. Let me put that out there.
Significant other.
Trying to get me in trouble on a Friday. Okay. That's one thing that I noted from the game. The other thing is we were curious off air. This was the first home game in the city of Detroit since the Lions season ended, right? Mm-hmm. The Pistons have played a couple road games. Would we hear a Jared Goff chant? We talked about it off air. We said, oh, we'll wait and see. We'll use this as a test. John, no Jared Goff chants.
Not even a whisper? I mean, it was a win.
No attempt.
Mm.
I didn't hear even one fan kind of boldly stand up. Jared Goff. No attempts at the Jared Goff. Are we done with the Jared Goff chant?
I think we're done with it for now.
What's for now mean? Like it can come back for football season?
Sure. It certainly could. I mean, he is... Okay. I know we are all left with the sour taste in our mouth about how the season ended. Way sooner than we thought it would. Not the results we thought it would. And a lot of it had to do with the turnovers from Jared Goff. Not securing the ball when the pocket collapsed. Interceptions. The turnovers was what cost this team the game. And so the season's over. The magic has ended for now. That's why I say the chant has ended for now. I'm not surprised at all that you didn't hear it at the game last night. I don't think that anybody right now is ready to turn the page and sing the praises of anyone on the team. It's not that we don't love Jared Goff. It's not that we don't love the Detroit Lions. It's just that there's a time and a place. And I think the time and place for the Jared Goff chant to return might not be until next year, till the team takes the field. I also think there's might be one opportunity in between now and then for that to happen.
Piston playoff game?
No. No local sporting events.
Okay.
I do believe the time for that chant would be in the city that they like to say of champions in football.
Uh-huh.
Green Bay.
The draft.
Where the draft happens.
Yep.
I could see Lions fans. We know they travel well. We know they're going to be fired up. We have owned the Green Bay Packers. And so I think at the draft in Green Bay, especially, and it's the Jared Goff chant hasn't just been for Jared Goff. It's been kind of a rallying cry for the city. I think it would be an opportunity because the draft was here. And we had so many people. It went off, and it was a spectacular showing for the city of Detroit and Detroit Lions fans to take over the draft in Green Bay. And the chant would be Jared Goff.
I wonder if Lions fans are going to go to the draft in Green Bay. I mean, we just had it here in Detroit. You experienced it in your own city.
But we own that town, so why not?
I guess
that. It's like going down to Columbus. We own that town, so why not?
Sure. Are we done with the Jared Goff chant? 248-539-9797. We did not hear any last night at the Red Wing game. There was an attempt for a Dylan Larkin chant. I tried to help the guy out. I'm like, yeah, let's come on. We got a Red Wing team. He scored a goal.
Oh, you were cheerleader.
I wasn't leading.
You put
it.
The pom-poms on. Hey,
Dylan Larkin. Like, let's just try. Get some Dylan Larkin love going. But it didn't really
sustain.
It
didn't take off.
No, it didn't sustain. This poor guy has tried it, I feel like, at every game I've been to. And no one joins in. And I was like, you know what? It's like his third time trying it tonight. Let's go. But no. Did not. It's
too many syllables.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Dylan Larkin.
Okay, like that. That works, but not
Dylan
like the Jared Goff.
Larkin.
Yeah.
I do think there was a little pushback with the Goff stuff even before Saturday of, hey, if the Wings are in a playoff chase, if the Pistons are in a playoff spot, like,
let's celebrate
those teams. Let's cheer for those stars.
The Pistons have Detroit basketball.
Yeah.
So that's the chant, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and so it's, Cade Cunningham.
Too many syllables.
Yeah, that one's really tough to go with. And I don't know if there's another one that you would start chanting. So Detroit basketball has been the rallying cry for a long time.
It had felt like the Goff stuff had become a little overbearing. And when he played that way, I don't think anybody's in a hurry to go out and chant his name right now.
Yeah, so I mean, if it is, okay, you're at a Wings game. What would the chant be?
Let's go Red Wings.
Yeah, so it's built in.
Yeah.
So it's not like...
There's replacements ready.
Right.
It's not like what do we do with our hands now? We can't chant Jared Goff? I guess we have to be church mice at the games. No, it's not one of those deals. We want to hear from you guys, though. Clearly, Jared Goff's a quarterback for next year and beyond. But are we still doing the chant in 2025? Are we going to have Jared Goff chants at Tiger baseball games in the summertime? Where we go, hey, we're putting that on pause. You throw three picks. Picks in triplicate in a playoff loss plus a fumble.
And your stud pitcher is only going to pitch one every 5 days. So, you mean, Tarek Skubal would be the chant. And maybe that takes over as the Jared Goff chant. I don't know. But I also think that, you know, going to Green Bay for the draft, first of all, would be a great experience. Second of all, take that city over. Show them who owns the North.
Just passed a guy with a personalized plate, Jay Goff. So apparently people are still celebrating him. This texter says...
Should I go full Stoney on this? Is that Jared or Jack?
Yeah, don't get us in trouble.
You're welcome, Stone!
Jared's off. Jared's off on the ticket text. Mm-hmm. Maybe people are still upset
with
Goff.
Well, he is. Yeah, it is the off season. He is off.
RIP Jared Goff chant, 1-18-25. Here it lies, dead.
R.I.P.
Pistons chant should be All-Star Cade. All-Star Cade.
Well, when it happens, which it should.
Next week?
Yeah.
Thinking. All right, where are you guys at? Jared Goff chants. Are we soured on him right now? We're not doing the chants. We're not doing this for now. It's 97-1.